What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Amanda Goetz is the founder of House of Wise, a luxury CBD brand for women, and a halftime CMO at Teal. In this conversation, we discuss payment system censorship, CBD, distribution strategies, financial education, subscription models, astrology, and payment infrastructure. I really enjoyed this conversation with Amanda, and I hope you do as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is Near. Near is an open source platform that accelerates the development of decentralized applications, overcoming high fees and slow speeds with its fast, scalable, low-cost, and climate-neutral blockchain protocol. This is why Near was recently awarded the climate-neutral product label from South Pole. One transaction on Near consumes about 1,300x less carbon than a similar transaction on other chains. Learn why Near is the infrastructure for innovation at near.org today. NEAR.org today. Near.org. Go check it out. Next up is Exodus. Exodus simply builds the most beautiful products in the entire crypto industry. Exodus is leading the world out of the traditional financial system by building those beautiful and user-friendly products. With its focus on design and user experience, Exodus has become one of the most popular and loved cryptocurrency apps. It's supported on both desktop and mobile, allowing you to sync your wallet across multiple devices so you can have access to your funds anywhere. You can instantly exchange around 100 different cryptocurrencies straight from your wallet. Interactive charts let you view an asset's price history and your portfolio's performance over time. And maybe the best part, Exodus is integrated with the Treasure hardware wallet, making advanced security easy for everyone. Visit exodus.com/pomp for your free download or search Exodus on the App Store or the Play Store. Exodus.com or search Exodus on the App Store or the Play Store. Last but not least is crypto.com. With 10 million plus users, crypto.com is the easiest place to buy and sell 100 plus cryptocurrencies. Crypto.com has a Visa card that gives you up to 8% back instantly and 100% back on Spotify and Netflix. Also, crypto.com lets you earn high rates of return on Bitcoin, stablecoins, and other types of crypto assets. You can get $25 when you download the crypto.com app and use code POMP as well. Again, go download the crypto.com app and use code POMP and you'll get $25 for free. Go to the description, click on the link there, and it'll take you right to the promised land. Crypto.com app, use code POMP, get $25. Click on the link in the description. All right, let's get into this episode with Amanda. I hope that you guys enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
All right, guys, bang, bang. I've got Amanda here. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, let's just get started. What the hell is CBD? You started a company and there's CBD gummies. I don't know what that is. So what exactly is CBD?
Okay, cannabis, cannabinoids. You know what cannabis is. Most people think of THC.
Weed.
Right, THC gets you psychoactives, gets you high. CBD is a component of that. And if you grow a hemp plant, it can turn into high THC, which would make it marijuana. If you harvest it before it hits that point, it's CBD.
All right, you lost me. This is like science stuff.
Yeah.
When I think of weed, as somebody once told me, if you say marijuana on the internet, that means you're a cop. So weed.
Yes.
Weed is made up of THC and CBD.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if it has high THC, low CBD, it's weed, marijuana.
Okay. All right.
If it's
then no marijuana, it's a cop.
If it's low THC, high CBD,
yep.
It's hemp.
Got it. Okay. And then what you put into the gummies
is hemp-derived.
Hemp-derived CBD. And then you mix it with other things, and we'll get to what those
exactly.
all are. But the idea is CBD has what impact on the body versus THC?
So we have an ECS, an endocannabinoid system.
Okay.
Which was just discovered in the 90s. We didn't even know that we had this, and it helps regulate a lot of different things, right? And so CBD is a really cool adaptogen, meaning it will help if you're overstimulated or understimulated, it will adapt to that.
Okay, so if I'm overstimulated, it'll bring me back down to kind of the regression to the mean.
Exactly.
If I'm understimulated, same thing, it'll bring me back. Okay.
Exactly. And so we mix it with active ingredients, like you were just saying, so because CBD acts as a really powerful carrier and heightens the effects of the active ingredients. So for example, melatonin, people take melatonin, we've mixed it with really good quality full spectrum CBD. Full spectrum means it has all the terpenes in it of the plant. So it actually has what we call the entourage effect. It actually helps with efficacy.
So I eat a gummy.
Yes.
That gummy, basically, there's like two different compounds that team up. The CBD is like, hey, we're coming. And then we're going to bring the melatonin.
Exactly.
Like, get on my back. I'm carrying the squad.
Exactly.
We're going in. All right. Got
it. Perfect.
And then the melatonin gets there faster, better, et cetera.
Higher potency, efficacy, et cetera.
Okay, potency. I like that. Yeah. That's like a wizard word. Potency. All right. So there's higher potency. And that means that if I was going to take melatonin versus if I take it via the sleep gummy that you have, I will actually get a better effect from kind of broader effect from the CBD-enabled melatonin versus just without it.
Yeah. Another example is the sex gummy.
Okay.
Okay. So the CBD helps calm your brain.
Okay.
Helps to a woman get in the mood, right?
Because okay.
That's usually the hardest part is like turning your brain off to get in the mood.
Okay.
And then
what do you mean turn your brain off?
So you're not thinking about your freaking to-do list.
Got it. Okay.
And you can actually like get in touch with your body.
Yep.
And then the active ingredients then start to kick in and helps with like lubrication, stimulation, et cetera.
Okay.
And so again, the CBD kind of leads.
Got it.
Helps calm the brain, helps with calm, focus, et cetera. And then the active ingredients heighten that as well.
Got it. It's like active ingredients jump on my back, we're going.
Exactly.
All right. So you have a sex one, you have a sleep one.
And stress.
Stress. What's that one?
It has L-theanine, which is an amino acid that helps with focus.
I know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so the whole idea here is I can take, let's say, the sex one if I'm going to sleep or want to have sex. If I want to go to sleep, I take the sleep one.
Yep.
And if I feel stressed, I could take the stress one.
Yep. Yep.
Can I take multiple ones in the same day?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you die from CBD?
No.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
All right. That seems...
You would have to take an immense amount, and like they don't even, you can Google it. It's really hard to find an accurate answer of how much, and you would never from our products, like it's smaller doses.
Got it. So like you would literally have to like inject it into your veins and like for days.
Yeah.
And then maybe only maybe.
Exactly.
Okay. So do people take like in the morning, I feel stressed. Let me take this. Oh, now I want to have sex. Let me take the sex one. And now I want to go to sleep. Let me take the sleep one.
Yeah.
100%. Really?
Yeah. And that's what we're focused on is routines and intentionality throughout your day. And that's why, I mean, the CBD landscape, the reason I started is because it's so fragmented and really confusing. Like all the questions you're asking are like scientific and rooted in like understanding what a cannabinoid
is. I'm a scientist. Most people
right,
know
exactly.
That.
and it's in your spare time. And so when I looked at the landscape, I'm a single mom. I have three kids. I was an executive at a company. I didn't have time to understand what products were out there. I wanted to know, like, I am not sleeping well. What's going to help me? I am having anxiety attacks during the day. Like, what's going to help me? And so we're a function-first formula. Mm-hmm. We talk about what's the end outcome versus just trying to teach everybody the components of a hemp plant.
You want to sleep? Take the sleep
exactly.
Dummy, right? Okay, got it. When you think about this, there's all kinds of issues, right? So most people right now, like this is about the point where they're like, all right, he said some funny jokes. She has these products. What the hell is she doing? Talking about CBD gummies on a podcast where she talks about Bitcoin. One of the things that the CBD industry shares with Bitcoin and crypto companies is all of the legacy infrastructure, they really haven't made up their mind yet. They don't really like it so much. And they can't outright just say like, you guys are bad people because they're not. Instead, they just make it really hard to do business. So the infrastructure becomes difficult. Maybe talk through like the technology stack that you tried to use, what the challenges are, and then where you guys are now.
Yeah, it's interesting. The entire industry buckets everything cannabis related into an MRB, a marijuana related business, despite the fact that CBD products are federally legal. So
you see marijuana, it's like literally the cops are like involved somehow. Like yeah. marijuana related business. They're exactly. like, oh, bad people, bad marijuana. People.
Right, right.
They don't call it weed related
businesses. I've got a suitcase coming to your house. Yeah. So, so when I started, I was literally having to get on the phone with people that sounded like car salesmen, that they were e-merchant brokers, because I couldn't use, if you're building on Shopify, like you're a normal D2C company, which we have part D2C distribution, I can't use Stripe, which is Shopify's preferred payment partner.
So Shopify will let you operate if you are a-
You have to get approved.
A weed-related business. We'll go with WRB.
Okay.
A weed-related business. I'm not a cop.
Right.
A weed-related business. But Stripe, the payment processor, will not process payments exactly. for these MRBs.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we then had to find out what's our option. So we went through Square, but they have a very, very small- allowance of CBD companies, and you have to go through an extreme. We're a VC backed company, so we were able to get into their beta program. But then you have to, Shopify won't pass directly to Square, so now you got to put in a third party handoff.
Okay,
and then there's e merchant brokers. Like, what?
What is an e merchant broker? That sounds like a shady industry.
It really is.
Okay, what is that?
It's just the handoff between. A payment platform.
Okay, you use car salesmen, so that's where I'm getting the shady.
It's literally component. The car salesman that's like, I'm trying to sell you this car. They're trying to be that middleman of the shopping cart and the payment.
Okay, which Stripe basically killed that industry.
Exactly.
If you can use Stripe.
Exactly. Okay.
Makes sense. So when you start doing this, were you able to get up and running at first and then they quickly shut you down? Or like, do they not even let you get up and running because they realize the M word is part of this business?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and it's whack-a-mole. Like I literally will get down the line of an SMS platform and then they'll be like, oh, wait, we just looked at your website, your CBD. Sorry, we can't support you. And the same with like fundraising.
For text message?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably because the word marijuana, cops, like I'm telling you. I'm telling you, they know that M word is going to pop up.
Yeah, they think I'm all just right. like, yeah. So it's that, it's fundraising too. Like I've learned that I am just super transparent up front. It's like, we are a CBD company. We're helping, you know, women. But if I try doing the like female wellness angle, they find out. And then I've gone down this path and now I have to come back and find new solutions. So
because there's certain banks and other types of financial institutions that will make it very difficult for people to invest as well, not 100%. Only for you to process the payments, but investors, etc.
Exactly. Okay. And also where their money comes from. Mm-hmm. Like if their LPs are in the Middle East, I have like the double whammy because I'm cannabis and sexual health, which in the VC world, sexual health was just made a category so that you could actually size the market and have comps. That was just 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of LPs that are coming from different parts of the world, if they're in that fund, I can't even talk to them.
Dumb question. Middle Eastern LPs, religious, or they just don't like sex, or what's going on there?
Or
a combination?
I think it's still patriarchal societies.
Okay.
So
that's, not necessarily directly also, a religious thing as much as it is like a societal and cultural thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're putting pressure or having the docs.
They just have vice clauses.
Got it. Okay.
Literally, they're like, yeah.
Okay. So you've raised capital. How much?
To date, $2.5.
All right. $2.5 million. And the whole idea is you're going to take what right now is three products, the sex, sleep, and stress, all S's, very very good alliteration there.
Thanks.
And you basically use CBD in these products, in the gummies, and you go and you sell it on the internet, except for there's one twist.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this. And the first time I heard this, as I'm assuming most investors, they go, this is either shady or this is genius. And like, I don't know how to underwrite it.
Okay.
But what you basically do is you have like Tupperware style distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand this until literally before the podcast, so I'm cheating now. Part of this is because you're getting shut down by the payment processors.
And we're getting shut down by Facebook.
Okay, explain that.
You cannot. So we are ingestibles. Many CBD companies.
Ingestible means I can literally
put it inside
eat
your body.
It.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah. Many CBD companies will launch a topical, meaning like a cream or something, mm-hmm. and then they'll run paid ads for that.
And that's cool if
that's
it's a cream.
That's cool, exactly.
All right.
But since I'm fully focused on efficacy, I wanted just ingestibles. Facebook will not let me run any paid ads because we're ingestibles.
So you can have a Facebook page, you can have a personal profile, but right. you can't run paid ads.
Right.
Okay. What, is Zuck not like weed? He probably is marijuana. He's a cop. Like, love you. Love you. Sorry. Just kidding. But like, I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah.
So CBD, anything that goes in the body, or is it specifically targeting weed / CBD / THC?
Yeah. Anything ingestibles.
Oh, okay. So literally, this isn't specifically this subsector of ingestibles. It's anything that you put inside your body they aren't cool with.
Right. Okay. Now I get your question. Yeah. It's just CBD ingestibles. Okay. Obviously, so you can't do THC because that's not federally legal. You can't run paid ads to THC.
THC, not allowed federally.
Yeah. But CBD because it's an ingestible. But like, there's nootropics. There's other people like that are running paid ads.
Can you do alcohol? Paid ads for alcohol?
No.
No. Okay. Interesting. That changes my opinion a little bit. If you could do paid ads for alcohol, then I'd be like, that kind of is like hypocritical. Right. If you can't do paid ads.
But you can run paid ads for Viagra.
Huh.
So how's that different?
Yeah. But is that prescribed?
Hims and Hers.
Is that prescribed by a
doctor? Hims and Hers are not prescribed. And they have.
No, but don't they? Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But I wonder if there's like a prescription component of it in terms of if it's prescribed by a doctor, then like it's okay somehow. I don't know.
No, it's
the alcohol thing is interesting.
Yeah,
maybe we'll get some data on that before the end of the
the
podcast. All right, so you can't use Facebook ads to get distribution.
Yep,
the payment systems are all basically screwing you.
Yeah.
So then, explain this distribution network. I'm fascinated by the idea of innovation and ingenuity comes out of necessity.
100%.
Which is, you're like the classic case for this.
Yeah. So I grew up in the Midwest, small town.
All right. There, everyone in the Midwest says that.
My town's 800 people.
That's very small. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
I think my high school is bigger than that.
Yeah. So everyone sold, you know, Mary Kay, Rodin and Field, you name it, right? Those are MLMs.
Dumb question. What are those?
So an MLM.
No. Oh, Mary Kay.
Makeup and Rodin Fields skincare. And
got it. Like they're brands.
Exactly. Okay. So, and Tupperware is a good example, right? So, what is an MLM? Multi-level marketing, meaning you make more money as you recruit people below you. And it's the reason why it's called a pyramid scheme, right? There's somebody at the top who started, recruited their friends. Those people had to recruit more friends. And what happens is the person at the top gets a percentage of each of the people under them. So, the person at the top is making a ton of money. People at the bottom are making nothing.
Is this illegal?
Yes.
It is illegal. Okay.
It is, but there are loopholes and there are still tons of MLMs out there and they're predatory on low socioeconomic households.
Okay.
Because less than 1% of women in MLMs make money.
What is the loopholes that people expose?
It's, I think, in how they register.
Okay.
In their like corp docs, et cetera.
There's some sort of legal finagling they do. So yes. It's not so much the operational components, it's more the legal components.
Exactly.
All right. I always think of MLMs as when Bill Ackman went after whatever the shake company is.
Yeah. Herbalife or something?
Herbalife.
Yeah. And,
I watched the documentary. I'm hip, you know. But that's basically one of his arguments, right? And I've zero understanding of what's real, what's not in the documentary, all this stuff. But the whole idea was like, he was saying, hey, this is basically taking advantage of the lowest socioeconomic classes.
Exactly. Right?
And like, I don't know, in the documentary it seemed that way, but who knows?
Right. So I studied MLMs because I'm from the Midwest. Lots of people sell them. I'm like, what is drawing women to these things? And it came down to really two key components. They wanted to be a part of something that was like a brand and a mission that they stood for. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make money and they were being sold this idea of making money. So what wasn't working, that what actually makes them predatory? Huge upfront costs and monthly minimums. You have to buy $500 worth of product every single month. Whether you sell it or not, they don't care, right? And then the recruiting part, which feels disgusting. It's like, join my team, come over. And then you start to like lose friends and it's very alienating. So if you break it down to what the core component is, women have influence and they talk about products to their friends. Mm-hmm. I was walking around the design district yesterday and someone was like, oh my God, I love your sandals. Where'd you get them? I was like, oh, they're Soothies. Like, here's the link to Instagram, whatever. That's how we find out about cool brands, because you talk to your friends. So if we boil that down, That's my entire distribution strategy. I have women who try the product. If it helps them, they get an affiliate link. They talk to their friends. They host parties. They want to talk about these things that have been by society stigmatized. Like, we aren't allowed to talk about sex. It's taboo. Mm-hmm. And then we're also compartmentalized. It's like, oh, you have your friend group that you talk about parenting with, your friend group that you talk about careers with, and then you have your close friends you talk about sex with. We're creating a brand that kind of realizes that women are multi-hyphenates. And that
word, what was that word?
Multi-hyphenate. Like,
what is that?
Like, you can be a mom, you can have sex, and
moms don't have sex. Keep going.
How did we become moms?
I don't know. Keep going, please. Keep going.
And in tapping into,
love you, mom.
Hi, mom. And tapping into the fact that we're influential with our friends. Mm-hmm. And so that 65% of our sales comes from what we call wise women. And they are not only coming to us for these products that are helping them, but then we have this entire education and community that is teaching them. So as they're making money, so average woman makes about $100 a month, rather than being like an MLM that's like, now you can go to Target or go buy more Starbucks or whatever, we're like, want to learn about Bitcoin? Let's talk about cryptocurrency. What is it? Let's talk about blockchain, et cetera. And so they feel a safe space to ask all the questions. And that's my end goal, is to get more than whatever. It's like 10% of women hold, wallets. So,
all right. So hold on. Let's go back for a second. The difference between, I think I MLM. Understand this. Yeah. MLM and what you're doing is, in the MLM, if I'm participating, my goal is not to sell products. My goal is to sell people to become a person and then go sell products. But really, I don't want them to sell products. I want them to go recruit more people. And it's basically like I just build an army of MLM folks. I don't know if anything ever gets sold, but like I have a bunch of people underneath me.
Well, they all have monthly minimums. So they have to keep buying the product. So it doesn't matter if they sell that product, they're responsible for that monthly minimum.
Got it. And that's like probably a lot of money.
That's most of their sales.
Got it. Okay. What you're doing is you're saying, don't go recruit anybody. Instead, here's an affiliate link. No different than if I went and a company gave me an affiliate link and I tweeted it.
Exactly.
Versus if I said, hey, five friends come over and then like I'm going to like tap on the phone for you and buy this shit.
Exactly.
Okay. And so really the biggest difference is the affiliate model, which is what you're doing.
Yep.
But it's trying to use human connections, friendships, et cetera, community. And create like a safe space of community, whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Once they buy the product, is it a one-time purchase or is it a subscription purchase?
So we literally just launched subscriptions this week so people can.
So you can do either one.
Exactly.
I have multiple friends. The reason why I know a little bit about this weed stuff is
not marijuana.
No weed. Is I have multiple friends who have taken the gummies, and people that folks on Twitter will know, and they swear by them.
Yeah.
And like one of my friends is very, very health conscious to the point where like one time I had to ask him, I was like, I think I noticed like you don't drink either, and he was like, no, and then I was like, you don't eat carbs really, and he was like, not really. And then I was like, okay, well, what about this weed thing? And he was like, oh, it's very healthy. And he like explained it to me. And it was the whole idea of like the melatonin and the CBD may help them go to sleep. And so what I'm fascinated by is if you're getting shut down by, let's just call it, and this is an overgeneralized term, but big tech, right? Yeah. Whether it's Facebook not allowing you to do payments, Facebook not allowing you to do paid advertising, Stripe not allowing you to do payments, whatever. You almost have to recreate this model.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you're using some like sketchy people to help you put together the payment infrastructure, not because you want to use them, but you're being forced to use them as like brokers and stuff, which we'll get to in a second. But then also from a distribution standpoint, you've almost like created this whole different distribution plan. Some of it is like old as time. Like affiliate model is old as time.
Exactly.
It's just that you're now infusing education, community, et cetera, together. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody do this?
I get DMs all the time from D2C founders being like, how do you do this? How are you managing them? And so we see an opportunity there as well.
How are you managing them?
There are some very bootleg, like different softwares that you duct tape together, and you have to have really smart devs to make sure that everything passes through. Because now it's not just like affiliate link tracking through one payment platform. As a reminder, I had to like put that middleman in, so that affiliate conversion has to track through like three different platforms. So
why don't you just take dollars, like cash? hard cash. Just be like, hey, just pay in cash.
I mean, that's why, have you ever gone to a dispensary that's like, most the old school dispensaries were like just cash because of that reason.
I was joking when I said that, but like that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because literally they couldn't do any payment processing, so it was cash only.
Exactly.
Man. And no wonder everyone was like, oh, these are like bad people because they're only doing cash. But it's like, no, you're forcing us to only
do cash. You're forcing us. Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you do cash?
Because we're digital. Like we want to make sure that it's scalable and doesn't feel shady. And who's using cash? Like women aren't walking around with like.
Like Sally down the street just got like a safe full of cash.
Right.
And she's like.
Sally, I got some sex gummies. You got 100?
The cops show up and they're like, hey, we heard this marijuana party's going on like, here.
Nope, this is just CBD, like, but we just want to make it really, really shady.
All right. So you're doing digital payments and people can use credit card, debit card, what all the normal stuff, right?
Yeah.
But the affiliate link is the key to this whole thing because mm-hmm. that's how you ensure that whoever recruits their friends as buyers, not as sellers, right?
Yeah.
And basically all the affiliate link.
Yep.
If you can track that all the way through, then you're able to pay them.
Exactly.
How do you do the split?
What do you mean?
Like how much do you guys take versus how much do they get paid?
They get a high, like it's 20 to 25% affiliate commission, which is higher than
most
affiliates because that's the money that I would have to pay Google and Facebook to acquire sales.
Yep.
So I just redid my entire model to say, I'm not giving a dollar to Google and Facebook. That is going to women who are supporting this mission.
Got it. So basically, thinking all the venture capitalists who hate the fact that, you know, 20 to 80 cents of the dollars that their company's fundraise go to Google and Facebook is basically just a tax on the startup industry through paid marketing. You're now saying, well, why don't we just give it to the actual people who need it?
And it's a higher ROI because those people are also content creators. I get so much more out of them. They'll content create, they want, like our seed round announcement, like got so much amplification just from all the wise women. I have 500 women who are so-
500?
Yeah.
That are doing the parties?
Yeah.
There are weed parties happening in this country that y'all don't know about. Let me tell you about these weed parties.
Sally's got a lot of friends.
They ain't got no cash, but they got weed. All right. So wait, what? Like, how does this happen? I'm a woman and I see this and I'm like, I want to participate.
Yeah.
I want to make money. I have friends. They want weed.
They want to learn about Bitcoin, like all the things. Yes.
As much as I'm joking around, right? They want these products.
Yeah.
I think that I want it. I think my friends want it. I contact you like through the website or like walk me through how does somebody become a wise woman?
Yeah. They literally go to this website. They go through the flow. We approve them. They get an affiliate link and then they go through a full like education about what is
onboarding.
CBD. Exactly.
Okay.
We have a full Slack channel that all of our wise women are in. And the cool thing, that was the most surprising thing since launch. We've been live for 6 months. I was like, okay, we'll see if women want to talk about these products, et cetera. What I didn't realize is this community that was happening kind of behind the social media wall. And I realized that there's a lot of things that Twitter can't do for women where a lot of women don't want to talk about their sex lives in the public eye, but they want to talk about it in a group of people that can support them, et cetera. So this idea of a community that they can reach out to. But then what I'm learning, because I'm a marketer, I've been a marketer for 15 years. A lot of marketers have come in.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaching the women how to create awesome content. It's like, I don't understand how to make a TikTok. Somebody will jump in and be like, okay, here's what you do. You film it this way and they'll create a video, et cetera. And so they're teaching women life skills that are like marketing is life skills. Like,
I was just going to say, you got to say marketing is a life skill because people will persecute you on the internet if you say TikTok is a life skill, even though
TikTok is not a life skill, but it's
maybe if you can make money on it, then hey,
it's true.
It's a career, right? Whatever.
But marketing is a life skill.
For sure. Everything is marketing or sales and sometimes both. When they come in, do you see anything interesting in the data? So you have 500 women that are holding the kind of parties. It's not just parties, I'm assuming. They're also doing other things because it's just an affiliate link.
It's
so you don't
have to
have
media,
a party.
Social media, et cetera.
Do you see anything that gives you a inclination as to who will be more successful than somebody else? Like, is it a certain geography? Is it household income? Is it a certain education level? Is it like you have a lot of followers on the internet? Like, what do you see?
It's intention.
Okay, interesting. What does that mean?
Someone who's dedicated in talking about it regularly. I mean, it's just like ad impressions. You need to see an ad like 6 to 7 times.
So it's really like authenticity.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if you, that's what we're looking for. Like when we think about influencer programs, right? it doesn't matter how many followers somebody has. It's how much engagement and what kind of engagement are people asking, like, oh my gosh, where did you get this thing? Are they truly, truly invested and feel that emotional connection to the creator? And that's the core component of all the wise women. It's like, if they actually tried the products and they slept better, like your friend, and he's like, I sleep so much better with this thing. You're now more inclined to try it, mm-hmm. right? And so it's first step one is just letting them try the products, seeing how they feel. And when they get a better night's sleep where they were able to handle their anxiety or their kids were being crazy and they felt better during that, they talk authentically about that. And then it leads to sales. Doesn't mm-hmm. feel like it's a hashtag ad, like yep. sponsored post.
Can men join?
Yeah, we have wise men.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, we have wise men, yeah.
All right, and they hold parties too?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with the wise men. They're tweeting about it. They're posting on Instagram, and they're selling like a lot.
A lot. Do men or women sell more? Probably women. Right?
We reach more women, yeah.
Yeah, but like on average.
Men are buying the product. It's like Degree deodorant. Their whole marketing campaign was like enough for a woman made for a man. Or is like
strong enough for a man made for a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And so I guess part of this then becomes you have to have the right products, mm-hmm. right? You have the right branding. And the distribution becomes really interesting.
Yeah.
Why not have people pay in Bitcoin to like completely remove the... Because basically what you're talking about here is like this is the crux of what Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
It's uncensorable money. Nobody can tell you you're not allowed to accept Bitcoin for payment because of what company you are, who you are, if it was what religion or... Nobody can tell you what to do. If you want to accept it, you can accept it.
I don't disagree with you. I think step one is under hitting my demographic, which is millennial women, helping them understand what is crypto. Yeah. Because they can't buy it if they don't even know it or trust it.
Mm-hmm.
So step one is we're doing all this education around what is Bitcoin, what is the future of currency, and then giving them the option, hey, you made $100 this month, one in fiat, one in Bitcoin.
Yep.
So that's step one to me.
Because it's almost like what you're really doing is you're helping people generate income. And then once they get the income, you're trying to help educate them in terms of like financial empowerment.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, it's fascinating because really you could imagine that corporations or employers, if they were sensical people, they would basically be empowering folks through education.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. And then once people understand Bitcoin, then they could pay in the future, whatever.
Exactly.
It blows my mind that Bitcoin and CBD, THC, et cetera,
haven't all converged.
Well, they're in the same bucket because from a societal standpoint, they're still kind of fringe type things. Mm-hmm. But people who live on the fringe, people who are forward thinking, people who are comfortable with like the highest degrees of innovation, I think both of those things are like no-brainers to them. Like, yeah, of course the government's going
right.
to make, you know, marijuana legal, right?
Right.
Versus Bitcoin. Like, yeah, of course that's going to be a thing in the future.
Yep.
It's almost like the legacy system. They're the ones who don't get it yet.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay. What's next?
What's next is continuing to grow the brand.
That's key for more weed parties.
More weed parties, not weed. CBD. And honestly, looking at this technical infrastructure and getting ahead of it because they're, like I said, I get a ton of inbound asking, like, how do you manage? The future of D2C is going to be a little bit more shifting from big tech to the people who are your ambassadors community. Community has been a buzzword in the marketing world mm-hmm. for like the past 2 years. Like, how do you build authentic community? If you're actually doing that, then how do you activate them as salespeople?
Mm-hmm.
As more and more brands do that, there's not good software out there. And so how do we really kind of stay ahead of that?
This is a wild idea and I just had it, so I could be completely wrong.
Okay, hit me.
The wise women are basically retail locations.
Yeah, it's the future like of brick and mortar.
Yeah, you just built a retail chain. It just happens to be their mobile yep. brick and mortar. Uh-huh. And they
I've
move
said
around
this before. Yep.
And they literally do it inside their living
room. The future of brick and mortar is humans.
Yeah, I'm sure that the woke crowd really gets mad when you say that because they're like, you know, we're humans and like we have feelings. But with all of that said, yeah, like that's basically what happened. They're like, they're the store manager
yeah.
of your store in wherever, Illinois.
Yep.
And they just don't have a place that they go to work. They just invite all of the customers into their living room.
Yeah. Our company is named after Brownie Wise, who created the Tupperware party.
Who?
Brownie Wise. She's the woman who created the Tupperware party.
That's her first name, Brownie?
Yeah.
For some reason, that makes a lot of sense that you'd be the Tupperware party creator and your first name would be Brownie.
Yes.
What is her story?
She wanted to empower women after the war to make money in their mm-hmm. households, so created this idea of selling Tupperware from your home. Earl Tupper, who is the creator of the storage thing, when Brownie asked him for a raise, an executive position, et cetera, he ended up firing her because she had already made this movement. He sold the company 3 months later and she got nothing.
And she had created the idea of the Tupperware parties.
Yeah, the idea that women have influence over their friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a no-brainer. What,
right?
Isn't it known? I thought this was like a
not before
thing.
The Tupperware party, not from like a commerce perspective.
Yeah, but yeah. Isn't it, is the statistic that women control the household 100%. Spending? Like there's all the kind of data yeah. that suggests like if you basically convince the mother of the household,
yep.
game over.
Yep.
And that's why the two most important demographics, if you're building a technology company to get into, is teenage to like young 20s females who then share, talk, whatever. It's not physical products like, hey, you said like somebody asked you about your sandals. It's did you see this new app? Did you whatever? Like, right. It's a very collaborative nature and, right. and kind of recommendation. And then moms.
And then moms.
Like, it's like actually the guys are the second.
All my friends, I asked them, I'm like, what laundry detergent do you use? And is it the one your mom used?
Is it?
Yeah.
Because their mom uses it, so they use it.
Yeah.
What else is there where like there's a lineage of if your mom used it, you use it?
I'm sure that there's a ton. That's a good question.
Yeah. Like I wonder if like deodorants or toothpaste right. or what. Like you
right.
just
toothpaste
like,
would be a good one.
Like you just
I still
grew
use
up.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever your mom grabbed off the shelf.
That's crazy.
Do you use the same toothpaste that your mom bought?
I honestly, I don't know what my mom ever bought. The thing that I always go back to is the best thing my mother ever did was at the age of maybe, I don't know, probably by the age of 14, 13, my brothers and I all, when we hit that age, we knew how to do our own laundry. And that's like my mom's big thing
mom.
Was like, you have to do your own laundry. But here was the thing was the problem that you don't understand is if you have five boys and you've taught them how to do their laundry, that sounds like a great idea. Then they want to do their laundry every day because that's my favorite shirt and I need to wear it tomorrow. And so literally they know how to use the machine. So they just go put one shirt in.
The water bill is like,
So then you have to start to come up with rules. Like, right. hey, there's only so many times. Whatever. Yeah.
That's like building a startup, honestly. It's like you don't know what you don't know until you make a decision. And you're like, okay, now I need SLAs around this stuff.
And then, of course, if your sons are all able to use the laundry room at free will, even within the rules, fist fights just randomly break out. Like your brother walks down the stairs and next thing you know, you're just fighting and your mom breaks up. Is like, what are you guys doing? And you're like, he's wearing my socks. And she's like, how do you know they're your
mom
socks?
An
and you're
angel.
Like, cause they're black. She's like, but he has black socks, not those black socks.
Oh my gosh.
Like that is literally what happens.
An
and then of course you get smart and say, okay, well, let's all buy different pairs of socks. Like we all know, whatever. Then shorts, then that's my t-shirt. And oh, but that one inside the tag, I wrote my name. There is no tag in this one. You cut out the tag, like let's fight.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if you guys still wear the same color socks that you bought as like a kid.
No, we have a running joke. We all just wear black t-shirts. That's it.
Okay.
And so now as semi-adults, it still would be confusing, but we have separate homes
right,
now.
Yeah, separate washing machines has solved this problem, but... If you guys go on trips, it's
how old do you have to be to use the CBD?
We say 21.
21.
That's the
federal and
rule.
So does this infiltrate into colleges?
Yeah. So we do have we've never targeted that demographic yet, just because we believe that again moms have a lot of influence.
Yep.
And we started this in the pandemic. Like I raised two rounds in the pandemic because I saw all of my mom friends turning to alcohol because of stress.
Yep.
And I wanted to give them an alternative that they could trust because the alcohol, as we know, like it doesn't serve you,
mm-hmm.
affects your sleep, affects your head gut connection, et cetera, and anxiety. So we started with that. But yes, 100% could go to colleges.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you start to think of all the groups where they're already like very high degree of connections, high trust, and then kind of built in recommendations, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I remember in college, there's a group of friends of mine. If anyone got into anything, like, hey man, these shoes are really comfortable, it was like bam,
yep.
Literally everyone has.
So a demographic we're talking to now is hairstylists, because you sit in that chair as a woman for like 3 hours and you talk about everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, see, I don't think guys do that. I don't think guys really talk to the barbers. No, they talk to each other, but they don't talk to the barbers, not so much.
Okay.
It also depends what type of barbershop you go to.
Okay. But hairstylists, you're in the chair for a while. And so we have a couple of people who are like, I'm just going to start selling it to my clients because they're stressed. They're telling us how stressed they are and they're going to make money.
Again, I don't know what I don't know. So this is a wild question, but women go to the hairstylist, sit in the chair, and then tell a random woman that they don't really know, like, yeah, I'm super stressed, and like just like start sharing.
Your hairstylist is not a random person.
Okay. I didn't understand that. Got it.
You literally.
Because you go to the same one every time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guys don't do that. I just cut my own hair. Like, whatever.
No, that person knows your like intricacies of your life.
Really?
Yeah. Because you go there like if you're like me and blonde and you're going like every 8 weeks and.
So you just see them over and over and over and over again. And then you trust them because you trust them with your hair. So like if they tell you to get ingestibles, then like you're whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's and lots there's extra of these, like it's all about, exactly. But it's all about that trust factor. Like who do you confide in for recommendations? And we are tapping into those network effects.
Yeah. Are there other groups that you think could be interesting?
We've been talking to.
What about priest? I feel like the priest could just be like, hear ye, y'all.
It's really funny because I do refer to religion a lot of like, how do you assemble a cult-like mentality? And it's like, study religion.
No, literally, if the priest went up in front and did his sermon, it was like, by the way, get some CBD. Like they would all go buy it.
Yeah.
He's already like put 10% of your income in this basket
literally.
And people just fork it over like as if like, oh, I don't know. They'd have no clue where the money goes.
No clue.
But they're just like, here's some cash.
Yeah. And then they're like, eat this flesh and blood. And
yeah. But even that's like, all right, that's part of the religion piece. But like, I've always been fascinated since I was a little kid and they would pass that basket around in Catholic church and people would just put cash in and then it would go to a random person. And I used to always be like, I know they're taking it. Like I don't know who that is, but like some kid, like you're telling me that kid's carrying around a couple $100 in a basket and he didn't take a dollar? Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But like to me, inside of the church, and this is, we've seen the bad side, right? Like obviously there's been all the negative stuff with priests and the Catholic church or whatever. But like there's just this element of like once you got inside those walls of a church, I don't want to say all rational thought left or like independent thought. But there was this sense of like, I trust the people here. Yeah. I trust the message. I trust whatever. And like, if priests told people to go get CBD, I guarantee they'd go get it.
Potentially. Not
you
not
sound
my demo.
Not as excited about getting the priest.
I'm not going after priests. I don't think they'd be aligned with my core mission of empowering.
It's no longer the house of Jesus, is the house of wise.
Yeah, that's a different house, Pomp. Like, very different house than we're going after.
I'm just saying. All right, what other groups?
We think a lot about massage, like where you go to get massages. I think that's
same dynamic as the hairdresser.
Where and also like where you're going to relax. I think yoga studios, et cetera, where you actually are trying to like get in touch with your body and feel your body. So
basically, if people go ahead and they buy the product at the yoga studios may get an additional income.
We focus on the teachers, like someone who's an independent, they are a yoga instructor, et cetera. And we focus on the individuals first because that's our distribution strategy.
I didn't understand this, but my amazing, loving wife has an instructor person.
Oh, yeah.
Who she used to go to the classes, and I don't really know what goes on there, but she comes back and says, like, it was a good workout. Like, okay. And then during the pandemic, the classes moved on Zoom.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of one time walking into the room while this was all going on. And fascinating. They're all like talking to each other. Like I didn't really understand it, but they were like doing the workout.
What kind of workout?
No, it was like a regular workout. No, like with like weights or whatever, like whatever. And she's like leading it and there's like music playing or whatever. And she's like kind of like yelling into her computer and then it's like going to everyone else's room. But I was just like, oh my God, like this is church.
Yeah.
Like literally if she was like, well, everyone go buy CBD right now, they'd all just run and go do it.
100%. If you look at like the numbers of religion and how it's going down, but then like new industries are going up, it's replacing, people want a sense of belonging and this like cult-like mentality of being a part of something. And I think fitness kind of took over in the last couple of years.
What's your take on astrology? Is this real?
Every time Mercury's in retrograde, I swear something happens, but literally
I don't know what that means. That was like another sign. That was like another language.
Literally, like everyone dating nowadays, it's like, should we pair on cosine? And I'm like, what
is that?
It's an app that tells you if you're compatible.
I'm out.
So I don't know.
I've seen people in the tech community be like, this is all garbage. Like it's literally a scam, a fraud, whatever. And then I've literally seen them also at the same time defend religion and also at the same time defend any sort of group dynamic that seems to be like astrology.
So I view astrology as it's a mechanism to be able to talk about yourself in a way that lets others learn about you. And so kind of like Enneagram or Myers-Briggs or whatever, it's like, oh, you're an ENFJ. So like, how do you react in this situation? And it allows you a framework to talk about. It's like, oh, I'm a Libra. That means I'm care about balance. And so then I talk about how I achieve balance in my life. I think all of those things are just like rooted in self-awareness and wanting to get people to connect with you on a deeper level. That's okay. How I view it.
So I buy all of that for the most part. What is your birthday thing?
What's my sign?
Yeah. That's what I was supposed to say. Sorry.
I'm a Libra. Jesus,
I'm embarrassing myself right now. Okay. What does Libra mean? I cannot believe somehow I am talking about this right now.
I feel like we need to look up your sign.
Oh, no, I know what mine is.
Okay.
I'm positive what mine is.
Okay.
But go ahead. You explain first and then I'll tell you what mine is.
I'm a Libra, which means, well, and also there's lots of different ways you can say it, but I'm a Libra and Libras care about justice, balance, and doing right. And
what does that mean? Like, do people who are not Libras care about doing right? Is everyone else a scumbag?
I don't know because I don't know if I fully believe in it, but I think it's a way to talk about like, okay, I believe in justice and balance and here's how I approach it. But what are you?
I'm a Gemini and I have no clue what that means.
I was an astrology girl, I'd be like, yeah, I knew that. I knew you were a
Gemini. No, here's the best part. I have no clue what a Gemini means except for Polina one day goes, do you know who else is a Gemini? And I was like, who? Kanye West, Donald Trump, Elon Musk. Like she went through this whole list and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be a Gemini. Like the list is absurd. So my brother who you met, my youngest brother is also a Gemini.
Okay.
And we're pretty similar or whatever, but I'd like to think that's just because we're cool, not because of some star bullshit on the internet.
After this, we're doing co-star, I'm going to see.
But my whole thing is just... the astrology thing is very similar to religion to me, mm-hmm. which is also very similar to school, mm-hmm. where there's a trust, which seems like a lot similar to like what you're doing, right? Which is just like, if you get people together and they trust each other and they put value in the recommendations that they make, what's the difference between saying, hey, you're born in this month, let me do, or maybe tarot cards are different. Okay, yes. Whatever, same thing. It's all the same to me. They, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Oh, now you're going to have this outcome in life. And if you start to think that, like, same thing with, hey, do you want to get better sleep? It's just one's a physical product that actually has science behind it. And the other is like, you know, woo-woo stuff.
I disagree. I think that.
Oh, yes. All right. Why?
One is who's in control.
Okay. What does that mean?
I want women to feel in the driver's seat of their lives.
Because in the astrology world, they're just
like,
whatever
Mercury
the world tells them.
Mercury transferred this way, so you're going to have...
What is Mercury? You keep saying that.
There's a phrase... I can't believe, Mercury in retrograde, which means that...
That sounds like a rap song. Go ahead.
And it means like technology will always like... Can I say fuck? But like, it'll just be like fucked up for the entire week that Mercury is in
Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start dropping that on the podcast randomly to people.
Be like, is Mercury in retrograde right
now? No. That would be too intelligent. I'm just going to just randomly say it. Like the next podcast I record, be like, yeah, Mercury in retrograde. Like, what?
The next person knows what you're talking about though.
The next person actually probably will because I know exactly who's coming in next, but go ahead.
But so For me, I want women to feel empowered and in control. Astrology, religion is all relinquishing control to another power, another thing. I'm saying I need help with my libido. I'm going to do something about it.
Got it. It's an action-oriented versus exactly. a reaction-oriented. Exactly. If I tweet Mercury in retrograde, what do we think happens?
People will say not for another 3 days or something.
Wait, what?
They'll tell you when it's going to happen.
Oh, it's like a time event.
Yeah, it happens.
How do I measure when it's going to happen?
We could Google it right now.
But like, how does Google know? Like, is it like a, like, is it something to do with the sun or something?
Something to do with Mercury.
Like the planet.
Yes.
Oh my God. Get out of here. No, fuck out of here. There's 1,000 planets. There's nothing. Why is Mercury the one? Why isn't it Pluto in retrograde?
I don't know.
Listen, for all of you listening at home who are watching this right now, the state of disbelief on my face says everything. There's people who literally are going to in 3 days. I think the life's changed because Mercury's in retrograde. I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool. So I'm going to start saying it now. Okay. Where can people go find House of Wise on the internet?
Houseofwise.co.
Houseofwise.co. They can pay with cash.
They can
credit card or debit cards.
Yes.
It all works. No one can shut you down as of right now.
Not right now.
We're going to get everybody on Bitcoin eventually.
Yeah.
And then if they want to sign up to be a wise woman or man, but wise woman, then they can go.
Housewise.co. They'll see it.
They're all right there. Yep. Okay. Three questions, and then you get asked who wanted to finish up. What's the most important book you've ever read?
Ooh. Waking Up, Sam Harris.
What's that about?
Spirituality, mindfulness, intention.
No Mercury in retrograde.
Mercury in retrograde. just living life presently and actually being in the moment. That's why it's called Waking Up. So I really like Sam Harris. So yeah, I'll stick with that.
All right. Second question. Eight sleep. I sleep on it. I love it. I super cold, 8-9 hours a night.
Yep.
I'm like religion. Like they've converted me to the sleep religion. What is your sleep schedule?
I go to bed every night at 9:30.
9:30. Okay.
And I'm a 5 a.m.er.
5 a.m. I'm not doing public math. That's 7.5 hours,
yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
And what time do your kids wake up?
7.
Oh, so you have like time. That's like
yeah,
a whole
day.
Yeah,
that's when I do my like,
without,
yeah.
without any kids. Yeah. All right. Third question is aliens. Now we're talking about Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah.
By the way, Planet's going to love the fact that I don't know what that is, but I keep saying it. I might text her that when we get done and not say anything else.
She's going to text me and be like, what the fuck did you guys talk about?
Yeah. Do you believe in aliens?
Yeah.
Why?
There's different universes and solar systems out there. Why would we believe that we're the only living being?
Have you seen an alien?
We're getting released UFO data all
but
the time.
But UFOs aren't aliens.
I have never seen an alien.
All right. Neither have I.
But not that
I think
of.
They are out there. I think they're I out too. There. But I just don't, I haven't seen it. All right. What one question you have for me?
What is one belief that you've had in the beginning of your podcast journey that has been changed because of guests?
I don't change my mind. That would be blasphemous. What's one thing that I believe that I've changed my mind on? I don't know. I'd have to think about this to have a good answer. I would say that it's not so much I've changed my mind, maybe as much as I've developed a deeper appreciation for aspects of the world that I think people kind of like intuitively know is bad, but until you talk to an expert in that space, you don't understand how bad it is. So criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's people who are locked up, right? Like, that probably shouldn't be. That's like the initial kind of elementary analysis of the situation.
Yeah.
Then you go learn about it, and you're like, that is really, really screwed up. Like,
I mean,
we should
cannabis,
absolutely change
we're
it.
Talking about cannabis. Like, 40,000 people are still in jail for something that states are making millions of dollars doing the exact same thing.
Oh, they get put in a cage for a plant. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is just like...
Yeah.
The intellectual curiosity that it like curates of like, hey, when you hear about something that's like interesting, if you go dig deeper, 100%. It's going to be 10 times, you know, bigger than you thought. That's both for like innovation and like technology, but also for like societal positive or negative things. Yeah. And so I think like, just like, that's my favorite part of the podcast. It's just like, it pushes you to like keep learning.
Yeah.
All right. Houseofwise.co. You can sign up, you can buy, you can do all kinds of stuff there. All right. What is your Twitter account?
Amanda M. Goetz, Goetz.
All right. Goetz is how I pronounce it, but okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pomp.